real quick. The first part is the Lord's Prayer. We don't have time for me to go and teach all that. I could go off on that for a couple hours. But when you get into that place of recognizing that the Father is holy, that it's His kingdom that you want to come, that He's the one to take care of your needs, both your spiritual needs, your daily bread spiritually, and your physical needs, when He begins to be the one in charge, and it's all about Him taking care of you, when He helps you to, when you begin to understand the cross, you know you're forgiven, and then you also forgive others. And then that you can ask Him for protection against the enemy. That when the pressures come, when Satan comes to negotiate with you, that you'll have wisdom. That you'll know the schemes of the enemy. And so that's the first part. So you're beginning, you're saved now. You're learning to pray. You're learning to walk with God. You're learning to talk with the Lord. The next part talks about as you mature in the Lord, there's people who are going to come when it's not convenient. This is another parable I've never heard personally taught correctly. I'm not saying it hasn't been, but I've never heard it taught correctly personally. And I never could understand how God would be the one in bed with everyone and telling somebody no, and then you pester him enough, and he'll get up and do what you want. And I've heard it preached wrongly. If you keep pestering God, he'll do what you want. God can't be manipulated. He's going to do what he's going to do as you get in his will. So I'm going to go over this one real quick because I think it's a pretty cool one to get the revelation of. It says, he also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. So we're talking about us now. And goes to him in the middle of the night. And you say, my friend. That's your position with God. Lend me 3 loaves because a friend of mine on his travel has just arrived at my house and I have nothing to offer him. And the man answers from inside the house, do not bother me. The door is bolted now, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up to give it to you. I tell you, if the man does not get up and give it to him for friendship's sake, persistence will make him get up and give his friend all he wants. Now, I'm not going to preach. There's a lot of different meanings to this, and you go a lot of ways. But when you begin to look at the flow of this to what we're going to talk about in a minute, he's talking about maturing. When you go to someone and you need help, if that person knows God and has the bread, they have the answers, then you're going to want that person to minister to you. You're going to want that person to help you to help others. And this could even look at somebody, if you call this ministry and you really want an answer and you want me to help you, and I could be doing something with my kids and I could be really busy and just know that I know I don't want to do this now. But if you keep persisting, I'm going to begin to realize I need to help this person. Because what if I needed the help? And what he's saying here, your life isn't your own. After you begin to really mature and grow in the things of God, your life isn't your own. You can't have your nice little life anymore. So you're going to be inconvenienced. Believe me, I can promise you this one is true. And it's just going to intensify as you get anointed. Because see, this person has the bread. This person has the answer. But I want you to see this. This person also has a real life. They have children that love them. They have family time. They have time they spend together in their home. But they're willing, if it's important, to disrupt everything. To give out of what God's given them. Okay? So as we're going on here, now after this, he says, so I say to you, now get a hold of this. He's showing you what other people have poured into your life. That parable after you're learning to pray, you're growing in God's kingdom, you're understanding God's way. I'm doing this really fast because I'm just trying to get us to the part on deliverance. Now you begin to see and hear. Now you are going to people and they're helping you and you're learning and you're growing and you're seeing what true ministry is like. You're beginning to get into that place. And God wants to make you that person who can get up out of that bed and give something to someone else that can have your life disrupted. So now he tells you to ask and it'll be given to you. Seek, mine says search, you'll find it. Knock, the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, everyone who knocks will have the door open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, would hand him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, would hand him a scorpion? If you then, evil as you are. See, some of you don't realize how evil you are. You need to begin to realize, God wants to change my heart. He wants to deal with my issues. But as evil as you are, you know how to give to your children what is good. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now we're beginning to see God saying, and I could preach, you've all heard me, I've preached on this before. But in this journey to being able to pour out what God gives to us, in this journey to be able to cast out devils, which is the next part, there needs to be some serious asking, seeking, and knocking. And Justin, you know, over at lunch, you were telling me how, you know, you just didn't know how to get back in that same place you were with God before some things happened, and you wanted the fire of God back in you, and you don't know why some of these things are still bothering you. Because God's not going to let me take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's time for many of you to jump out of the nest and go from asking to seeking. Lord, show me. I mean, like Irene had, she was in church, and Lord just showed her, this is why there's trouble in this certain area of your life. This is why this is happening. So there's supposed to be this place of breaking free from that friend that you have to get out of bed and disrupt their family life all the time. And start to ask on your own. But there comes a time. There comes a time to grow up. There comes a time for you to begin to ask. You know, you begin to seek. And then you begin to knock. Knocking is a physical action. You may have to say this to a friend. You may have to stand up against a doctor. You may have to come against control on someone. You may have to do this, that, or the other. But there comes a time to grow up. There's a time to find God, get saved, move in things of God. There's a time to pester other people and whatever you have to do to get to truth, to help other people. You know, and that other one too. Get a hold of that one before. That was someone bringing someone to someone who was anointed. This person's only in town for the weekend. Cindy, can you come over for a cookout? My daughter's going to be in town, and I want you to minister to her. You don't want me just to come over to hang out? No, I'm just kidding. Do you see what I'm saying? We begin to look to someone who's anointed and think, and the Lord says, okay, that's fine. There's a season. That's all right. That's how it works. That's how it's set up. But you begin to ask. You begin to seek. You begin to knock. You begin to get anointed. You begin to get answers. You ask for the Holy Spirit yourself. You trust God yourself that he's going to give you the right answers. There's something about getting the light bulbs that is very exciting. There's something about being weaned from being that immature Christian into a place of maturity. Now let me say this. This is not saying don't come and get answers. This is not saying don't come here. This is not about, oh, you bother me, go get your own answers from God. That's not what this is about. This is about, though, as you're growing and maturing, there needs to come that revelation. God's going to talk to me. When I get strong enough, when I begin to hear God, when I begin to know the Word, when I begin to see these things in my life, I am going to be one who will have answers for other people. I will begin to be that person that other people come to. I will begin to minister. But in that process of getting to that place, I've got to ask, I've got to search, I've got to find answers, I've got to seek. Don't just settle, don't take coping mechanisms for your junk. Get them out there in plain view and deal with them. Boy, this is like a whole new concept in most of the church. They're too busy hiding everything. Just get it out there. We've heard everything. I think we've heard almost everything. You just wouldn't believe what we've heard. And I don't judge anybody. My goodness, if I judged all the stuff that I'm hearing, I would be in so much trouble. And then you fall in love and you realize, wow, Satan, folks, get this light bulb. Satan can do anything to anybody. So don't judge. Just be thankful for God's mercy in your life if it hasn't happened to you. But no, when the devil really does those horrible things, that person can glorify God in that thing and get unbelievable victory and power and walk with God in a mighty way. So it all comes out being fair. To him is given much, much is required. It goes on. Okay, so we're seeing here now that he's saying, okay, it's time to grow up. You start asking, you start searching, you start knocking, you start getting answers, you start getting victory. You go after it everywhere you can. You're going to be going to meetings you never thought you'd go to. You're going to be doing things different than you've ever thought, listening to tapes you never thought you'd listen to, reading books outside of your comfort zone. God's like, come on, get out of your religious comfort zone and realize that you don't have what the Bible says you're supposed to have. Realize you're not raising the dead. Realize you're not healing the sick. Realize that all your intellectual understanding and all your cute phrases, whether it's in the faith movement, the evangelical movement, the whoever, the whatever, the prophetic movement, unless there is some power in your life and the love of God backing that power and things happening and being changed, you had better be in that place of asking, seeking, and knocking. Don't be satisfied till you can go clear out a mental institution with God's power. Why do you sit there so self-satisfied? How can you be satisfied when babies are dying of cancer and you can't go and give them back to their mom? That's a problem. We're all sitting back in a false because our life seems to be okay. It's a shame that tragedy has to hit your life and make you desperate before you can go after God and get some answers and get changed and get some compassion. So here we are. After we get to this place, we see Jesus now. I think it's cool he uses all that to get you ready to truly cast out devils and have real authority and power. All right. This is the Lord. He was driving out a devil, and it was dumb. Now, I know it was probably dumb, but he's also, this is the word for, this devil made the person not able to speak. And it happened that when the devil had gone out of the dumb man spoke. Mute is a better word than mine. And the people were amazed. Okay, first of all, if you're really casting out devils, somebody's going to notice. When we cast out the spirit of infirmity and your doctor report came back that you didn't have cancer, people noticed. This isn't about words. This isn't about what you can hang. You know, the saddest thing is when people keep claiming stuff and it's absolutely not happening or true. What convinced people is not your words. It's what follows your words. It's not about what you can say, what you can say, what you can say, what you can say. It's about what you believe and the power and the relationship with God to back it up. But some of them said it was through Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So this is a prince of devils. This is another name. I think it might be a different spirit. Doesn't call him the same as Satan. This is a prince of devils, that he drives devils out. Others asked him as a test for a sign from heaven. But knowing what they were thinking, which is the gift of knowledge, folks, and revelation and wisdom, he said to them, any kingdom which is divided against itself is heading for ruin. Now, this is the cool part, because I said, when God started showing me, just, a couple weeks ago, there were two houses. I didn't have any scripture to back it up. I said, Lord, if there's two houses, you've got to show me. I've always learned there's one house and there's a fight going on in that house between you and the enemy. You've heard it said that when you cast devils out, make sure that house is clean. We'll look at it in a minute. And make sure it's filled with the Holy Ghost. God's giving me revelation. I'm not filling the devil's house with the Holy Ghost. I'm not doing anything with his house. I'm not coming in. I'm bringing in a new house. What I build is going to be totally pure and perfect. There's no room in what I'm doing for the demonic. So forgive me for preaching wrong before, because I never knew. Humble yourself when you see a greater revelation than you moved in before. Doesn't mean what you did before was terrible. It just means it's where you're at. But I said, Lord, you got to show me. This is so cool. I'm not playing with you. When the Lord started showing me this, I came home from me. I said, Lord, you got to show me. Where's that at? I didn't go to the Strong's. And he said, turn to Luke 11. And look what it says. And it jumped off the page. Oh my goodness. You talk about excited. Wow. Man, this is real. This is why people can't seem to get free. We keep trying to clean out a house. We're supposed to tear the house down. Any kingdom which is divided against itself is heading for ruin. And house collapses against house or collides against house. There's more than one house going on here. And they're colliding against each other. God's house in you, if you're saved, and the enemy's house can't dwell together. He says, so too with Satan. If he is divided against himself, how can his kingdom last? Since you claim that it is through Beelzebul, close, that I drive devils out. So that has to be a different spirit than Satan, because he uses the word Satan. Okay, so he that's a good name for the enemy. I like adversary. So the adversary, this is a spirit from the enemy. Adversary, what's adversary mean? Someone who fights against. So we can see that the spirit that they're dealing with here in this deliverance is a spirit that fights against the things of God. Many of you, I know Justin was talking about that something wants to come up in him and curse God. That would definitely be the spirit. It's a spirit that's against God. It's a spirit that its main, its main thing that it would be doing, his main job, his main position, is to cause people to be against God. The Antichrist would fall into this. The actual Antichrist spirit is against Christ's spirit, and actually, when the Antichrist, who's going to rule and reign in the last days, it's really going to be where Satan actually picks a human being and makes his house there. Total possession. Satan himself, not him just ruling and reigning and getting all these demons out there doing this stuff, but when he himself is going to make his great big appearance. Ugh, yuck. But this spirit, I believe, is another spirit. It's definitely one of the princes. It's a big guy.